Wow. We have less than 2 hours left of our time, and still quite a bit of ground I'd like to cover. What I'm hoping is that that the information you're getting today will be useful, but even more than that, I am praying for all of you that you will chew on the Beatitudes, this idea of God's conspiracy to grow us up in everything. All of our human relationships, I believe, are designed to lead us to God. We are made for Him. In their success, they give us an experience of God's goodness. In other words, if we have a healthy bond with our mom, that's a picture of God's love and desire to connect with us. If we have a healthy separation, a healthy yielding. But ironically, it's when our human relationships have failed us that we are most likely to reach out to God for something beyond what the world has for us. Ultimately, we want everyone that we interact with to realize that our ultimate aim is life with God, that He made us for His pleasure, and that as painful as the gap is that we live in, that the gap is God's way of stirring up a longing for Him. He wants us to desire Him more than we desire life itself. And that's really what we are hoping. We want to give people comfort. We want to give them counsel. We want to give them direction. We want to give them insight. We want to give them greater capacity to live a life of joy and peace and freedom. But beyond all that, we want them to encounter the presence of God in their life here on earth. Well, that's what it's all about, is finding relationship with God and growing up in Him. So, anything that came out of your discussion time, question or comment that are burning to share? If not, then we'll go on and finish out our look at this developmental model, and then we're going to circle back around and we'll use those handouts that were on your table, on your tables, to really flesh out this model as it relates to counseling. So if a healthy child has gone through bonding, established a really strong need, a strong sense of need and connection with the mom, if they've out of that secure base been able to assert themselves and establish a sense of separateness, pushing against the walls and, tantruming, asserting, and being able to come to a place of acceptance so that they can yield and learn and grow, receiving all the good that the parent has. The blessing of meekness, Jesus says, the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You inherit something by being in relationship with someone else. And so right relationship with parents and with teachers, with those that are in authority over us, opens up for us a tangible blessing. And at this stage of counseling, you give tangible blessings to the people that are coming to you for help. If they've had that experience, then the child who's eaten the bread of instruction begins to internalize the values that inform the rules. The rules form a scaffolding around the child as they are being built, like a building. But as the building has its internal supports in place, the scaffolding is removed. And so the ultimate goal of parenting is not obedient children who follow all the rules. If a child knows to do everything right and follows all the rules, is that sufficient? No, it is not sufficient. The child must go beyond the structures of home, the rules, the do's and the don'ts, and internalize value. The child ultimately needs to identify with the parent, to identify with the values of the parent, to identify with the character of the parent, to identify with the strengths of the parents, so that the pursuit phase, or identifying with, I think it on your handout, I guess it uses the word, identifying with, I'll go ahead and use that for right now, identifying with the parent allows the child to become like the parent through emulation, not through following the rules, but by following the parent. Jesus said, the scriptures, you seek the scriptures because you think in them you're going to find life. But he said, they're designed to lead you to me. It's not about following the rules, it's about following the person. And so what we want for our children is not that they follow the rules, but they follow us. that they follow us in our desire for godliness, for work, for play, for pleasure, for fun, for creative pursuits. We want our kids to be like us, not by following rules, but by following us. That's God's heart for all of his children, that we transition from a legal mentality to a value-driven mentality. A child at this stage of yielding is driven by rewards and punishments. And a good parent gives consequences for the child at that stage. If you clean your room, you can go play. If you do your homework, you get to watch TV, or you know, whatever the rules are. If you do this, then you get punished. And the child is driven by pain and pleasure. But as adults, we want our children to be driven not by reward or punishment, because they're getting ready to go into a situation where there's not going to be anybody there to give them a consequence if they don't make their bed or do their homework or go to class. We want them to be driven by a sense of value, an internalized sense of value. The word that we might use at this stage is assimilation. In physiology, when you eat something, something external becomes a part of you. So that if I had a turkey sandwich at lunch, and that as I eat that food and chew on it, those bits of meat get broken down. As they go into my stomach, they get further broken down in the small intestine. They get absorbed, so that what was once a gobbler is now a different kind of turkey, maybe. What we hope is that through the process of assimilation, that something external becomes internal. That those values that the parent demonstrates through peacemaking, that the values that inform the rules about curfew and making your bed and brushing your teeth, that the values are what become a part of your child, so that they're driven from internal rather than external. I believe that the story of God's relationship with man is developmental. In the Garden of Eden, he related to Adam and Eve like a little baby. No rules, run around naked, no problem. Eat from any tree. They're like little babies. At a certain point, they say no to God, and they enter the terrible twos, and things are different. And they experience alienation and grief and life in a fallen world, similar to that transition from bonding to separation. Eventually, Abraham and Moses come along who are yielded to God. Moses described as the meekest man that ever lived. And in the old law, God relates to his people like you do, children from the age of 3 to 12. You give them lots of rules, lots of structure, lots of consequences. If you go this way, it's going to be a good thing. If you go this way, it's going to be a bad thing. But God's intent was that he relate to us not as children, but as adults. And when a child moves into adolescence, you begin to shift the relationship and become alongside counsel as opposed to being a trainer or a teacher. And the flow of blood at the cross, you could even liken to the flow of blood when a woman enters menarche and her body demonstrates its readiness to receive life. At the right time, Christ came and God's people were ready to receive the Holy Spirit, so that what was external on laws of stone becomes internal in the written on our hearts. It's a beautiful picture of God changing the way he relates to his people. Not because God has changed, but because we are growing up. We are designed to be the bride of Christ. We're not there yet. Jesus has not been released to come back for his bride, but if we are on the path, we are growing up. Not just individually, but as a team. We are all part of that body. And eventually, we are going to be prepared as a bride without spot or blemish. And it's a developmental thing. It's something that we are growing into. And God's design is that the whole earth be filled with his glory. And he's going to accomplish that. We get to be a part of it if we're willing. It's the greatest thing in the universe. Okay, so identifying with is the task here. Jesus says in the fourth beatitude, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Those of you who have studied psychology know that Maslow's hierarchy of need says that the most basic human need is food and drink. Our basic survival drive is eating and drinking. That's the deepest need that we have as human beings. What Jesus says is he's turning Maslow's pyramid upside down and saying, what I want to be at the basis of your deepest need, the thing that drives you, that's your survival drive, is righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is that? Well, it's right relationship. Right relationship with ourselves, with others, with God. Right thinking, right doing. That becomes our food and drink. That becomes the thing that moves us in our lives, not our own comfort. A baby is motivated by hunger and thirst. That's the need of a baby. But an adult is motivated by hunger and thirst for righteousness, doing and saying the thing that honors God, regardless of the consequence. You can't expect a three-year-old to do the right thing if they're going to be punished for it. But an adult, you want to do the right thing because it is the right thing, even if it means depriving myself of some pleasure or encountering some pain. So that the ultimate goal of life and development is being infused with the character of God, identifying with Him, with His values, with His character, with His strength and priorities. The companion beatitude is blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This one may be a little bit more difficult to chew on, who are persecuted. Being persecuted means to suffer loss. The Greek word has to do with being driven out. And when the church was persecuted, it went from being concentrated in Jerusalem to being spread around the world, to persecution that was a driving out effect. And in parenting, there are two aspects of this driving out effect. When we launch our children, we have to reckon with the personal loss of losing our children. It's a great joy to see your children spreading their wings, but there's also a loss. My oldest son and his wife are now out in California. He's in law school out there. And although I had to take great pleasure in the fact that he's there, I don't get to see him very much. They came at Christmas, and that was wonderful, but you know, since last summer in August when he moved out there, I've only seen him once, you know, and that stinks. But it's the right thing. And so suffering the loss of limb or, you know, life or limb for the sake of righteousness is what a healthy parent is all about. Sending kids to college, those of you know, there's a cost. And you do without some things because of that call to support children as they grow, and you let go, and refuse to give them everything they need. If you have a child who calls you and says, or let's say you have a high school student that says, what should I study in college? A healthy parent is not going to say, well, you need to major in business because blah, blah, blah. Or you should get a history degree. Or, you know, a healthy parent helps the child to look at his own character, his own makeup, his own desires. Gets the child to look inward rather than looking outward. And so a healthy counselor helps a person to stop looking to the counselor for that direction that has become so comfortable. Well, you should tell me what to do, Eugene. It's your job. You're the counselor. What should I do? And at this stage of development, Eugene is able to say, I don't think you need to ask me. Well, I'm asking you. Tell me. And she's like, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. And she's got to be very careful to not impose what she may be very clear about as a good choice on that person. She's got to resist the urge to be in that comfortable place. Because as rewarding as the yielding phase is, many children have trouble going to this next stage of development. They want to stay back here where they can please, where they can be justified. Because the nice thing about having parents is if things go wrong, if you're doing what they tell you to do, well, I did what you told me to do, you know. It's very safe and convenient. And of course, it's kind of nice to have a parent that if you really don't want to go to the sleepover or the party, you can just blame the evil parent. My mom won't let me go, you know. It's really a great thing that parents provide for kids. Because they can be the fall guy for kids. And if you're not doing that for your kids, you should. Because it gives them a good way to say no to some things that otherwise they might not have the internal strength to do yet. But eventually, you want them to be able to take responsibility for their decisions and to say, no, I don't feel good about going to that party, or I don't want to go. That's where you really want your kids to be. But it's a scary place because under the law, we have it good because we know, okay, well, it's like the legalist or the Pharisee. If I tithe, if I fast, if I say my prayers, I'm good with God, right? Okay, I like that. That's not God's way. God wants us to enter into the chaos and the struggle of uncertainty so that we risk trusting him when we don't know for sure where to go. In the when God was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, he gave them very clear direction with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's very nice. They knew when to set up camp and when to break camp. It's really cool. Every step was just lined out for them. When they entered into the promised land under the direction of Joshua or Yeshua, the Hebrew word for Jesus, kind of cool. Under Joshua's direction, the word was very different. The word was be strong and courageous. Wherever you put your foot, I have given it to you. And I can imagine being Joshua and going, okay, well, where do I put my foot then? And God's like, wherever you put your foot, I've given it to you. He's like, okay, I'm ready. Tell me where. It's like, wherever you put your foot, I've given it to you. It's like, you mean wherever I put my foot, you've given it to me? It's scary. It's like, you mean I could just go to any college? I could study anything I want to? It's sometimes overwhelming to feel that freedom, but to know that I bear responsibility for the consequence of my action. I can't any longer blame it on somebody else, deferring to them. But that's exactly where God wants us to be, to live in that moment. And in counseling, there will be many times when you're saying, God, just tell me what to say and I'll say it. Just tell me what to say and I'll say it. And sometimes he will, but other times you gotta just fly by the seat of your pants and trust that God is bigger than you are. He will work even in your mistakes. And as I said before, sometimes the best thing that can happen is for me to fail someone because they'll leave the session thinking, he's not that smart. I thought he was going to fix all my problems, but obviously that's not going to happen. So what does that do? It drives them to a place where they have to trust God and take responsibility and not put it off on me or mom or dad or the church or, whoever hurt me. No, I have the reins now. I can make choices, and I can trust God that even in my failure, he will support me. He will sustain me. And it's more important to him that I risk than it is that I be perfect in a legalistic point of view. He wants us to be perfect in the sense of being complete, being fully formed, being made in his likeness, but not in terms of, crossing every T and dotting every I. That's not the perfection that Jesus is after. He's after that perfection of growth and maturity, which this, is the final result. Okay, make sense? Okay, take a minute and are y'all okay? You want a formal break now, do you think? We good? Okay, feel free during these times where you're talking to stand up if you want to, or to go get something to drink, or go to the bathroom. There's still quite a bit we want to cover in the next hour and a half or so. So share for a few minutes. We'll take a little break, and then we're going to go back and apply this very specifically to the caring process.